Appreciated the thoughts that have been shared so far, very much so. And I was thinking, as Josh brought out, how it's a dark time right now for many people in the world, and even people that we know. Had to think of how that when Jesus first came to earth as a little child, that how dark the times were then. They were very dark, and they were there wasn't any hope. Hope was if you read accounts of the history in those times, the people didn't have hope, and there was a lot of darkness. And it just inspired me, I guess, when I was thinking about that, that we have an opportunity as Christians to give people hope. See, we are Christ to the world, or we should be Christ to the world. And so I guess just a challenge, this is not my message, a challenge to each of us this Christmas season is to share that hope with people in even the very minute way, maybe a deed of kindness or whatever, this Christmas. We have an opportunity to give many people a joyous Christmas and a happy Christmas this season. And I just share that with you as a challenge or as a inspiration. My message this morning is not about Christmas, and if you were expecting a Christmas message, I don't have that. But maybe I can bring some points out like that. The title of my message this morning is Finding Truth in a Deceitful World. And the verse that really stood out to me that I had been reading in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is saying this to the Jews. He said this to the Jews, but he's speaking about Satan. And he tells the Jews, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." So Satan is, he can't help himself. All he can do is lie. That's all he knows how to do. That's what he is. He is a lie. He's reality, but he's a lie, if that can make any sense to you. And what got me thinking about this is in the last World magazine we received, maybe some of you read this article, Joe Belts wrote a little article saying how our culture is one of deceit. The article said that he received a letter from his bank saying that he could borrow money, interest-free, for a year. But in the fine print, it explained that when you use this money, that there is an upfront cost that is associated with each time you borrow more money. For example, if you borrow $3,000, you'll be charged $30. And then when you make a payment on there, you're going to pay that $30 back first. And he pointed out that this article is deceptive because it says up front that there's no cost, but then they do charge you, actually. So they lie to you. And there's many banks that do that. He was just bringing that point out. Interest-free was a deceitful statement. And then he also brought out the example that HP company that makes computers, they bought another company that sold to them last year, and they found out recently that their stock was worth $8.8 billion more than what it really was. And when they asked the CEO of that company about this, he said, or it might have been a she, said that we designed it this way. And so if you design it that way, it doesn't matter if you lie. And I agree with Mr. Belts that, you know, this world, his point was that we live in, that's the world we live in. It's a culture of deceit. And honesty and integrity are missing in our culture. Why do people think it's okay to be dishonest? And what justifies lying? We know that it's sin. I mean, people. I think most people know that lying and deceit is sin, but we have renamed it. We've given it a different name. That's not dishonest. That's just we designed it this way. And it's hard to look at. And so, as we go through as Christians, how do we find truth in this deceitful world that we live in? I just had to wonder, do people really think about, if they would think about it, do they realize that they won't be okay when Jesus returns? You know, this seems like a very small issue of someone maybe telling a little short, something deceptive, but this is sin. It won't be accepted. When we get to heaven, it won't be accepted. And we are born with this ability to be dishonest. That's how each of us are born. Little children have to be taught not to lie. Children want to lie. It comes naturally for them to want to lie because we're born sinful. We have to teach our children not to lie. We have to teach them to be truthful. And as we get older, we become callous to deceit by default. It seems to happen. If you never teach someone to be truthful, that they will default into dishonesty. If you look at people's resumes that they send out, I wonder, you know, these companies that will make a resume for you to get a job. I have read some of those and you learn things about people that you never knew that they could actually do. But I just think that some of those are so, well, we just want to make it sound the best we can. But sometimes we stretch things a little too far. And there's a book that it says the book is called America Told the Truth, or something like that. I don't have that quite right. And in that book, they did a study. They have a list of study, and it says 91% of the people in America lie about trivial things, things that maybe aren't important, don't seem important, little things. 36% lie about important matters. 86% of children lie to their parents. They don't tell their parents the truth. 75% of the people lie to their friends. 43% of people lie to their siblings. And 69% of the people lie to their spouses. It's just sort of alarming when you think of it. It just brings out the point that we do live in a culture of deceit. Being honest and truthful is a very, it's what Jesus would like us to do and be. And so in that way, we have an opportunity as Christian people to give other people a whole different perspective of in this world. So to keep us truthful and honest, we need to be taught. And to maintain our truthfulness, how do we do that? And as I studied it, you know, the subject of truth can be a very big subject, and I got overwhelmed, so I tried to simplify it and just come out with and just come down to the one point of how do we maintain honesty in our own lives, truthfulness in our own lives. And the one thing that stands out to me utmost is we need to have a love for the truth. And I believe the root cause of us becoming dishonest people is because we don't love the truth. We might think we love it, but we maybe don't love it like we should. And I'd like to read this verse in John again, John 8:44, where Jesus was speaking to the Jews. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." And then he says what the devil is. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so this morning, I'd like to challenge us to look at our own lives. How much do we love truth? And this word abode, where he said that, where Jesus said that he abode, Satan abode not in the truth. That word abode means just a simple meaning. It means home, you might say. Is your home in the truth? Do you live in the truth? In this verse, Jesus says Satan didn't live in the truth from the very beginning. And I believe this is where it all starts for us. Not being taught to live in the truth, but after we have been taught to live in the truth, do we continue on living in the truth? Not living in the truth is not living for Jesus. And I think that to give Mr. Belts in the World magazine an answer about what's going on, I think that the people in our country don't live in the truth like they should. If you look at our country, you look at how we have taken the Bible out of our learning institutions, and we've taken it out of our courtrooms, and our government is not unified in keeping truth in Congress. Our country used to have the Bible in all the public places, and we've taken it out. It's no longer used as discussion like it should be for right and wrong. So is it any wonder that truth has been compromised? And I just want to change now and encourage us to look at how we can sustain in living for truth in our own lives. Because I believe that will keep us honest. That will keep us from telling truth. If we want to find truth in this world, we're going to have to go to the Bible. That is where we're going to have to go to get it. I've been thinking a lot lately, too, that the reason deceit has escalated in the last decade is because many people don't have faith in the Bible. You think of the in years gone by, the creation ministries where they speak about, where they validate the Bible more than a lot of people do. They're trying to prove the Bible to these people that don't have faith in the Bible. It used to be that people believed the Bible. They didn't necessarily obey it, but they believed it. But today we have a lot of people that are having trouble even having faith in the Bible to know that it's even true. And I think that's why we see a lot of things, the dishonesty escalate, is because it's not taught, and then the Word of God is looked at as another book. The Word of God is the sovereign truth. And if our world doesn't trust it for supreme truth, we're even going to see a bigger growth in dishonesty in the world we live in. But each of us have to, coming back to ourselves now, each of us has, we need to recognize that each of us are susceptible to becoming a liar. And it's honesty and loving truth has to be maintained. And each of us can regress into dishonesty. We have to have faith in God's word, and we have to put our faith into his word, what we can get out of it, and study it and understand it and see what it has for each of us personally, if we're going to maintain our honesty, if we're going to continue on bringing hope to the people around us. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God. We need to study the word of God. He said to study so that you can be approved of God. So God will approve of your actions and your words and the things you say. And that's what we need to do too. That's not just for Timothy, it's for us, so that we can please God with the way we live our life. In Hebrews 4:12, a very familiar verse to each of you, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. It'll speak to us. It'll speak to you. It's very powerful. The Bible, God's word, it has answers for all of your life, for each little detail of your life that you're questioning, for each little thing that you wonder about, that you struggle over. The Word of God has power to help you with that. It has the power to give you the answers. It has direction. It will guide you. In Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It definitely will guide us. It gives us direction. In Psalms 18:30, it says, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. And this is verse really comforts me because it says the word of the Lord is tried. And I get the impression that it's saying it's experienced. When I want to know something about something that is new to me that I'm going to go do, I like to talk to someone that has experience in it. I like to know how it went for them and what troubles did they have and what should I expect. That's what this word of God is. It's experienced. It has all of those. It's put there with knowledge of how it's going to go for you and what's the best route to take in any situation that you might face. It's tried. It's experienced. Psalms 33:4 says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction to righteousness. The Bible we have, you know, we have so many of them. We probably have, I don't know how many we have in our home, but we have a lot. And we don't even use near all of them. And I have a Bible on my phone. I have a Bible on our computer. And we have a Bible all over. We have Bibles. And they're looked at like, I don't think that we should look at a Bible and say that this book is worship the book. But yet, the words in the book are inspired from God. And there is something very special about them. And I don't think that we in our home have been a good example. I don't think that we honor them or we look at them like we should. And even in the whole world, people put a lot of emphasis on having a nice Bible at a certain spot on their coffee table, for example. But, you know, you hear stories about it being dusty. And we need to recognize that these words that are in these books that we have so freely, that are printed so freely and are so available, they are very, very special words. And they have everything that we will ever need. It is beyond the answers are there. And we go so many other places to look for answers in how we should live our life. The inspired word of God, it's all right there for us. And it's truth. It's absolute truth. It's the truth that you can't change. There's so much truth out there today that people say is relative. And I agree, I can see that because people doubt that the man went to the moon. And I don't mind if they doubt it. That's fine. But I had to think of it that the Bible is like this, that if you doubt the Bible, you're really shooting yourself in the foot because it is truth that can't be changed whether you believe it or don't believe it. And if you don't believe that they went to the moon, I don't think that's going to hurt you so badly. But if you, when you put the Bible into that category, which a lot of people do, it's really a sad situation that our world is in. So they don't even believe truth when they see it and they try to get around it, try to change it, can't change it. So now the rest of the message, I'd like to just make it very practical. You know, I think that a lack of truth in the world has caused dishonesty and deceit in our world, but the Bible is where we can find honesty and truth in our world that is full of deceit. And so I want to encourage us to study the Word extra hard, especially in these times. And, you know, when you study the Word, I think the very first thing that a person needs to do, this is what helps me, is make a commitment. Maybe you need to make it every day, maybe every month. I don't, you know that. But make a commitment that you will take time every day to read your Bible, to study your Bible. This is an easy resolution to make, and it's not very difficult to keep, you might think, but I think it is for many of us. It's not easy to keep a commitment like this, and that's why I think that it would be good for us to make those kind of commitments. And I don't want to specify even how much time you do it, but you should take some time, maybe 15 minutes at least. A lot can be accomplished in 15 minutes of study, of just pouring, reading the Word. And do it at a time when your mind is clear. Make sure your Bible study is worthwhile. When I read the Bible, I have to admit, be truthful with you, that I have a temptation to let my mind wander. And, you know, it's good for us to get in a place where you can shut everything else off for a little bit. Try to shut the world off around you. Try to shut off all what you're planning on doing today and all of those things. And try to concentrate on what you're reading. And how can it be good for, what does it have for me? Bring your mind into subjection. And read the Word with diligence. In Psalms 1:2, it says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and He meditates it on day and night. And we want our delight to be in the law of the Lord, to be in the Bible. I also thinking about, you know, just in our everyday life, when we eat food, we eat food because we won't live if we don't eat food. And I know we have so much food, we don't need a lot of food for a long time, but if we don't eat the right kind of food or have a balanced diet, or if we don't chew our food correctly, you know, the food doesn't do what it should for us. And our Bible study is the same way. It should be that we digest it correctly and we understand what we're reading. Write down some of the subjects in the Bible that you could study and start studying them one by one. A topical study is a very simple way to do it, and sometimes it's more fascinating. Sometimes it yields more immediate results in your life. But be sure to study all subjects. Don't get hung up on one or two subjects. And I go back to this balanced diet thing again. If you get caught up in a couple pet subjects, you'll get an imbalance too in your thinking and in your belief. You know, if you eat, for example, cold cereal for every meal of the day, I know some people that like that, but that is not going to be good for you. That's a bad diet. And that would be like reading Psalms 23 every day. That's all you read. And I don't mind if you do that, but I think you need to have more than just Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is good. There's a lot of good in that. But you can't just read one chapter day after day after day. You need to have balance in your diet and also in your life, in your thinking, in your way of your perspective of God in what you read about Him. So depending how much time you spend each day, you know, you could take several days per chapter, or maybe you want to select a book and you want to study a certain book in the Bible. That's good too. I just think the main point that we have to remember, that we need to remember, is that we need to understand what we're reading. We need to consistently read. We need to read so that we can learn and that we can apply it to our own hearts and our own lives. Maybe you need to choose other versions to understand it more, to understand it better. And also, it's good sometimes for people. I know some people don't like to write, but I think it's good for you to write down some thoughts, to have maybe a little paper in your Bible that you can write down it for. Maybe for some of you that doesn't matter, but for me, if I can write down a couple little thoughts, I seem to be able to retain it more throughout the day. And I think it can be good for some of you. So, and last of all, study the Word of God. Study the Bible like it's the Word of God. Remember, this is the inspired Word of God. And put more If you remember that, if you can think of it that way, that God is speaking to me when I read this. This is God speaking to me today. If you can think about it like that, you know, it will cause you to be more eager and thorough as you read. It's unlike any other book. There's no book in the whole world that's like the Bible. And study the Bible prayerfully. Ask God to help you understand. And the psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold thy wondrous things out of thy law." So in closing, just to, you know, in this world, there's a lot of deceit. It's full of dishonest and deceit. Truth has been compromised. And because people don't trust God's word as truth. And I think that the reason that we become dishonest people is because we don't love the truth enough. We need to have a real love for God's truth. If we love truth, that will make us be honest. And it'll help us to be really honest with everyone in our life. We can blame the world for getting so far off in their thinking, but we need to bring it back to our own personal lives and remember that each of us is susceptible to be dishonest. And each of us has a temptation to lie, to stretch things a little maybe out of proportion for our own personal gain, or to lie because it's so embarrassing to tell the truth of what really happened. And you know, we're all faced with those temptations. I don't care if you are young or old. I blamed the children earlier for having a temptation to lie, but I think we as older people have a temptation to lie too. And I want to encourage us this morning to learn to have a love for truth so that we can be honest, and then that we can also, guess just want to say this, that people looking on at our lives, an honest person really stands out. It can stand out so much. The world's lacking. And last week, I was in Sandpoint at the McDonald's, and I parked there. We were headed over to Newport, Wes and Steve and I, and we went in to get a coffee. And we were inside, and a man came in, and he didn't look like a very honest man. But he came in, and he said he wanted to know who owned the vehicles outside there, and I said I did. And he said, "Well, I got something to talk to you about, and come with me." So I followed him out, and here he had backed into my truck. And I got out there, and I thought, you know, I'm surprised he came in. He doesn't look like the kind of character that would come in and say, "I want to repent of backing into your truck." And I was blessed that even as rough and as whatever he looked like, that he was honest and that he had been taught to be honest that way. And I know that, you know, he had insurance and all that, and it really wasn't probably that much to go against him. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what his real story is. I don't think he was a Christian, but he was honest, and that inspired me to we have those opportunities every day. You know, there's a lot of times that we don't have to be honest. There's a lot of times that we could just go on. In fact, I've already taken something back into Walmart or a store like that I had in my pocket and forgot. And they look at you really weird for being honest about that. But I believe that God loves it, and it speaks to people around us. It gives them hope, especially in the season we're in right now. I'll close with that. Maybe leave it open for you to share if you have anything you'd like to share.